Hello, hello, hello. Now, I have to begin by telling you something very grave. Something of a cloud hangs over today's episode of The Jolly Heretic. It has come to my attention that a number of those who imbibe at the Jolly Heretic public house are of the view that my introductions are too silly. Or, to put it specifically, they are too silly for the gravity of the matters which we discuss on The Jolly Heretic. It is a minority of you who think this way, but that minority have petitioned me, and they have petitioned me with great earnest to request that I might consider doing a video where the comic introduction is either very short or non-existent, and in which I basically get to the bloody point. This being the case, I felt, as it is important to listen to all of those who make up the community that is those who fight for scientific truth and therefore are prepared to be scientific heretics, I felt it was best if I compromised. And I promised them that I would do one video as a special one-off, you understand, as a special one-off, in which I would simply get on with it and approach the matter with the gravity which it deserves. I tried to do this, I really, really did. And as I sat down today, I was about to go for it with no comic element whatsoever. But as I did so, it just felt wrong. It just felt so wrong. I couldn't go through with it. I couldn't allow myself to do it. And so consequently, something inside me compelled me to dress up as, if we're being charitable, Sir Isaac Newton. And if we're being not, a stereotypical English judge. But let's be charitable and say that it was Sir Isaac Newton. And I must stress that I had good reasons for dressing up as Sir Isaac Newton, because Sir Isaac Newton is highly relevant to what I want to talk about today. And that is the issue of why so many people, or so many important geniuses, appear to be born significantly prematurely. Now, Sir Isaac Newton was born on Christmas Day, 1643, at about 2 months and possibly more than 2 months early. He was so small that he could apparently fit into a court glass, that is to say, a glass in which you may fit 2 pints. Many other geniuses have also been born 2 months early, among them Pablo Picasso. Moses is said to have been born 3 months early. And I got thinking about this, and I was very interested in this, because as some of you may know, I was actually born 3 months early. Now, I'm in honour of seriousness, I'm going to take off my Sir Isaac Newton wig before I continue. I was born 3 months early in 1980. And in 1980, if you were born 3 months early, the probability of surviving was about, at Hammersmith Hospital, for example, was about 20%. So 80% of the children that were born 3 months early would die. And of those that survived, most of those would be blind, or they would be severely mentally retarded. And as you can see, I'm not blind. But certainly there are all kinds of problems which manifest as a consequence of being born very, very early indeed. So when Sir Isaac Newton was born 2 months early, he would have had a very delicate skull. This would have caused him to have brain damage. His lungs would have been too small to breathe properly. This would have caused him to have brain damage. He would have been set up for what we call a fast life history strategy, i.e. he would have been set up to live in an ecology that is extremely unstable and unpredictable, and consequently he would have followed a strategy of live fast and die young, and would probably have gone through puberty early, which explains why he only reached the height of 5'6", which for a member of the upper middle class, which he was born into, a yeoman farmer, was reasonably short. And he also developed, as many people who are born prematurely do, a particularly unusual kind of personality. He was an extremely unpleasant person, by all accounts, who once threatened his mother that he would burn her house down. He had no real friends. He had no relationships. He was a religious zealot of the most extreme kind. His intelligence was and his ability to work was quite unusual. He almost failed his degree. He would do things like sit on the stairs and get lost in thought for hours and hours and hours, even with guests in the house. He rarely spoke. He was left-handed, and being left-handed, as we've discussed before, is a sign of something having gone wrong in development. It's a sign, normally, of an asymmetrical brain, whereby one side of the brain is being overused, such that the norm of being right-handed isn't achieved, and you end up being left-handed. He was a person who couldn't do very simple tasks, but he could, such as those relating to farming, but he could do extremely complex tasks, such as those high G, high mathematics, that kind of thing. As far as we can work out, as we've discussed before on this programme, the nature of genius in its bare essence is a very, very high IQ indeed, which stratospheric IQ, which Sir Isaac Newton obviously had, combined with what we also see that he had, which was moderately low empathy, a moderately low altruism, and moderately low impulse control. Now, these characteristics, of course, mean that people with low impulse control can think outside the box, and they can come up with original ways of thinking, and they can sort of solve problems in a way that ordinary people wouldn't. But it also, of course, means that they can... they don't care about offending people, and new ideas, genius discoveries, and genius is defined normally as, in science, as someone who's made a breakthrough, significant discovery. Those ideas are normally going to offend vested interests, but the genius doesn't care about that, and so he simply gets on with it. Now, in medical science, a child is defined as being born prematurely if it is born at least 3 weeks early. Now, there are a number of interesting correlates of being born this early. First of all, it reduces IQ. But even though it reduces IQ, and it does so because it causes brain damage, the brain will try to make up for this by employing other areas of the brain. And what this often means is that people that are born prematurely end up with very, very specialised abilities, so and very, very specialised forms of intelligence. So they might be, for example, very, very, very linguistically skilled, but not have, but be very, very poor at spatial intelligence. Or they might be very, very good at maths, but very, very poor at spatial intelligence because of the way in which their brain has been damaged. And this seems to be something that was true of Sir Isaac Newton. You see this in its most extreme form with what used to be known as idiot savants. So these are people who have brain damage. They have, as a consequence, very, very low IQ. They are often retarded in terms of their IQ, but they have some specialised... The brain has tried to deal with this, and as a consequence, they have some specialised ability at which they are absolutely fantastic, such as perfect pitch or the ability to draw complicated landscapes from memory or something like that. 54% of people that are born prematurely are left-handed, compared to 8% of controls. This is consistent, of course, with the environment, with the brain having been damaged, having not developed properly, and so consequently, this instability has led to the right side of the brain being overdeveloped, causing the child to consequently be left-handed. It means they're overusing one side of the brain, which they're not supposed to, due to this brain damage. It also sets them up, as already discussed, for a fast life history strategy. That is good evidence that is what people who are born prematurely tend to follow. They tend to live fast and die young. They're more likely to get divorced. They're more likely to have unstable relationships. They're more likely to simply die younger. They are set up because of the instability of their early environment to simply live fast and die young. They often have physical disabilities of various kinds, and they end up being shorter than they would be because of the way that they have set up for a fast life history strategy, which means they'll often go through puberty earlier and thus stop growing earlier and end up shorter. And also because at a key growth period, their environment is suboptimal. Because of the damage that has been done to the brain by them being born prematurely and by them not receiving enough oxygen at a very early stage, they have less myelin on their temporal lobes, which seems to mean that they are more likely to suffer later on from depression. And there seems to be quite good evidence that Isaac Newton suffered from depression. Often they will be born early because they are basically miscarried. Mothers mothers who are anxious or suffer from depression are more likely to miscarry, and so it may be that this is then genetically passed on to children who are born early. You're more likely born early if you have an anxious mother, and then you will inherit that anxiety from the mother. Because they are depressives, they are more likely to have religious experiences. One of the important, as we've discussed before, religiousness is associated with stress. It's associated with anxiety. People tend to become more religious at times of stress. And when they become extremely stressed, the consequence can be a religious experience in which the level of adrenaline or whatever in the body is so high that the body reacts by flooding it quite the opposite, basically, with chemicals that calm it down, and this results in feeling an intense sense of joy, which can be interpreted as a religious experience. So you have all of these factors, which would mean that people who are born early are very, very different. They're very, very unusual. I can say from my own experience that when I was at junior school, I had tremendous difficulty learning to walk. I couldn't walk up substantial flights of stairs until I was about maybe 8 years old. I had to crawl up the stairs. Until around about the same age, I couldn't walk down the stairs either. I had to sit on the stairs and sort of push myself down. I used to walk like a thunderbird, kind of like that, shuffling along the ground. And as a consequence, I would regularly fall over and have patches on any pair of trousers that I had. And this was made quite clear to me because people at primary school would say things like, it's spastic, you walk like a spastic, mental, thunderbirds all go, and so forth. And so equally, of course, you could argue that to the extent that people that are born prematurely are going to be basically moderately disabled, they're going to be bullied as a consequence of this at school, and this is also going to set them up in terms of a fast life history strategy, in terms of making it more likely that they might suffer from anxiety or depression, and in terms of making them kind of feel different and excluded and an outsider, which might also make, which is another factor, by the way, being excluded, feeling excluded, which tends to elevate religiousness. But you can certainly see from this that the character, and another issue that is also highly relevant to people that suffer who are born early, is simply autism. So because the brain doesn't develop properly, and the starved of oxygen and so forth, they are more likely to suffer from autistic traits. They're more likely to have Asperger's syndrome. Now, all of these traits are, of course, very important when it comes to understanding geniuses. In terms of scientific geniuses, there is a degree to which what a stereotypical scientific genius is a highly intelligent person who has, to a certain degree, autistic traits. When it comes to an artistic genius or a military or political genius, the charismatic, who is able to make a cold world feel warm again and inspire people, those people are often autistic to a certain extent. They're also highly intelligent, and they also tend to be prone to things like depression and that kind of thing. And because they have suffered, they are able, with depression, they're able to cure suffering in others. And they're also more likely to have these religious experiences and things like this, which give them a sense of purpose and a sense of certainty and a kind of fundamental sense of mission. So you can start to see why we would expect people that were born prematurely to be overrepresented among these kinds of people. Because the genius involves having basically highly specialised intelligence. It's not just that they're highly intelligent, someone like Einstein or whatever, who, by the way, was born 2 months early, will have a very narrow form of intelligence. And this is what is true of people who are born prematurely. Their general intelligence will be affected in a negative way. And it's interesting that Einstein, for example, didn't do particularly well at school, and he failed the exam to get into a particular college in Zurich where he wanted to study. Isaac Newton almost failed his degree, which is almost unheard of. There are many other examples of geniuses who are like this that don't do that well at school or even in the lower levels of higher education. And it's because their intelligence is so incredibly narrow, partly because they're only interested in the things they're interested in and are too kind of autistic to play the game, as it were. And that they have this certain kind of personality which makes them uncooperative and not likely to listen to advice and all this sort of thing. And also there's a degree to which the optimum level of basically being anxious or depressed also seems to elevate how well you do at university. So in all of these ways, then, you would expect that people who were born prematurely would be overrepresented, would be noticeable among these genius figures, all the different kinds of genius, because they have the unusual narrow kind of intelligence, they have the fast life history strategy kind of personality, i.e. low altruism, low conscientiousness, autism, low empathy, that kind of thing, they are more likely to suffer from mental illness, which can manifest in creativity and in charisma, and they're going to have a life which will set them up to be fast life history strategists and to feel excluded and so on. And this is basically what we see. So Daniel Nettle, the psychologist, has noted, as I said, that people who are these charismatic types are artistic types tend to suffer from depression to an optimum degree. And then we can start to look at these different people. So among scientists, you have Kepler, born 2 months early; Newton, born 2 months early; Einstein, born 2 months early; Darwin, born 2 months early. Among charismatic types, so that is to say people that are going to combine elements of autism with a narrow form of intelligence plus depression, you have, as I look at it in my book, Churchill said master, the sadist who, well, I want to show it to you, Churchill said master, the sadist who nearly saved the British Empire, you have Winston Churchill, born 2 months early. You have Charles Wesley, the founder of Methodism, 2 months early. George III, 2 months early. Napoleon, early, not sure how early. Imre Nagy, the Hungarian revolutionary, 2 months early. Warren Jeffs, the founder of the person who was in charge of the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and who managed to basically sustain this cult in Colorado City, on the Arizona-Utah border, and is basically this despotic cult, born 2 months early. In art, I don't have the exact month, but apparently born significantly prematurely, Victor Hugo, John Keats, Anna Pavlova, the extraordinarily creative and original ballet dancer, 2 months early. Rousseau, the founder of romantic philosophy. I mean, think of the enormous influence that had. Again, he was this depressive, perhaps rather autistic, and highly intelligent character, 2 months early. Picasso, prematurely. Hobbes, prematurely. Mark Twain, 2 months early. Stevie Wonder, of course, a great and eminent musician, who was, of course, blind, which is often one of the things that happens if you're born prematurely, was born 6 weeks early. There is some idea in Jewish historical theology that Moses was born 3 months early, and that his mother, Jochebed, was able to keep him secret during the persecution of the Jews that was occurring when he was born, such that he wasn't killed, because he didn't cry very loudly. And he didn't cry very loudly because he was born 2 months early, 3 months early, I'm sorry, and consequently had highly underdeveloped lungs. Now, you equally see, In terms of his life, what kind of person was he? Well, he was definitely conforming to the kind of autistic, low impulse control, low altruism, and perhaps even depressive stereotype that would be associated both with the charismatic leader and with many of those who are born highly prematurely. So he murdered a slave master. He had a religious experience in which he perceived God in the burning bush. He had the charisma to lead people to the promised land. He established a theocracy in which there were absolutely brutal punishments, which shows you an element of autism, an element of a lack of empathy, that he'd be prepared to institute these appallingly brutal punishments. He massacred his enemies without really being particularly caring. So he would exemplify, he had born, it's what you predict that someone being born prematurely would be like that, and that's exactly what he was like. In many religions, you find key figures, often figures who are highly charismatic, and who would therefore be expected to combine these elements of these optimum elements of autism, of being depressive, of narrow intelligence, and so on. You find they're born prematurely. Muhammad's grandson Hussein, who split from Sunni Islam to form Shia Islam, born 2 months early. Buddha was supposedly born early, while his mother was travelling. Balarama, the elder brother of Krishna, who is understood to be the eighth manifestation of Vishnu, was apparently born prematurely. Dionysus, in Greek myth, understood to be the son of Zeus and a mortal, and himself the god of wine, ritual and madness, which is interesting considering the idea that to some degree you can see that people who are geniuses are a bit mad. Often the idea that madness close to great wits close to madness lies was born early. And there was an idea in ancient Greece known as ephemerism, named after a philosopher called Ephemeris, and he argued that the gods were actually real people who did amazing things and consequently were gradually turned into gods by the people who saw them. That may have some degree of truth in it, that these great that someone like John Barleycorn or whatever in English myth may well have ultimately just been a shaman figure who was then turned into a mythological figure. Now, when Alexander the Great reached the town of Nysa, he was informed that it had actually been founded originally by Dionysus, and so it's possible that he was actually a real person who was born prematurely. In Egyptian myth, Horus, the son of Isis, born early. Seth, the kind of evil god in Egyptian mythology, interestingly, born early because he cut a hole in his mother's womb and climbed out. You have in the same theme runs through so many different mythologies that people who are basically a bit mad, but a bit kind of charismatic, sort of charismatic and mad, kind of evil geniuses almost, are born early. So you have in Irish mythology, Lia, the god of war, was supposedly born early and was regarded by his mother as this very mysterious and unusual person. Sorry, that's Welsh mythology. In Irish mythology, Cullen, the so-called Hound of Ulster, was born prematurely. His life parallels that of Hercules in many ways, to the extent that it may have a common mythological ancestor. And so his personality is that of this extremely brave, kind of almost psychopathic individual who's prepared to take incredible risks, risk-taker. And this is what would be associated with the genius personality. Geniuses are these incredible, fast life history strategy risk-takers who, because they are depressives, have a great sense of mission and a great sense of sort of a religious mission, which helps to get them through life often, particularly with charismatics, and that's what he seems to be. And he was born early. In ancient Europe, you had this idea that people who were born early were more likely to become vampires. Something understood to mean those that would be reanimated corpses that would suck the blood out of the living. So there was this association between people being born early and basically things which were evil and mysterious and strange and mad and bizarre, which is consistent with some of the characteristics, obviously, people that are born prematurely. You see it in Shakespeare plays. There's Caliban in Tempest, this madman, but who's also highly intelligent and says very profound things, born early. They have the concept in these plays of a moon calf, that is this idea that a person is born during a full moon and the full moon somehow affects the mother and it makes the child be born early and that person will be insane, but also kind of profound. And you get this character again and again in Shakespeare plays, the concept of the mad person who is also very deep and profound and thoughtful. And of course, that's what you could say Isaac Newton was, what Einstein was, what a lot of these scientific and artistic geniuses, as Picasso, whatever, are basically mad people who are also kind of highly profound. They're kind of mad in a good way. There's a degree to which that is what a genius is. He's mad in a good way. And the stereotype in English folklore was that these moon calves, this is what they were. They were mad in a good way. Richard III, but also often mad and highly intelligent but evil. There's also that element to them. You have this in Richard III. He is understood in Shakespeare plays to have been born early. Lady Anne curses Richard's father and said, even if he has a child, let it be born prematurely and let it look like as a monster, so ugly and unnatural that it frightened its own mother. Richard III refers to himself as deformed, unfinished, sent before my time. In other words, mad, bad, dangerous, but also highly, highly intelligent. Perhaps rather like Warren Jeffs or these kinds of evil geniuses that you see that manage to take over organizations and inspire people, but to do bad things. In conclusion, basically, we can say that I don't know how you go about statistically proving it, because there would be so few examples, historically. I mean, it was only when I was born in 1980, it was only 20% of people born 3 months early that survived. I don't know what it was with 2 months early, perhaps 30 or perhaps 40% that survived. And obviously it would have got less and less and less further back in history. But there seems to be a connection. I think that's very interesting. So often when people have a premature child, it's a very traumatic thing for them. And certainly in my own family, I think my parents didn't particularly want to talk about it. And it was only when I was about 20 years old in a pub with my father in Durham, we both got drunk, that we finally managed to get talking about it. And he said to me, you almost died, Ed. You almost died. And this is just not, this has never occurred to me. I knew I'd been born early and it had affected the way I walked. But it never occurred to me that I almost died. And it was that kind of traumatic. But so it becomes this thing that people don't want to talk about. And also, of course, it is the biggest single predictor, really, for bad life outcomes in all these ways, and all these lower IQ and being autistic and whatever. But it seems that in some cases, when the negative effects or the overtly negative effects of being born prematurely are optimum on the brain, such that it doesn't just lead to low IQ, it leads to lower IQ specifically, but this is compensated for by very high intelligence in a narrow area, that it leads to autism, but an optimum level of autism such that it permits a person to be an original thinker or to whatever and inspire people and think in an unusual way. It doesn't just lead to depression, but an optimum level of depression such that a person isn't just destroyed by it, isn't just a little bit depressed, but is sufficiently depressed that it makes them more creative and artistic, and it makes them more prone to unusual psychological experiences, and again more able to kind of inspire people. When that can happen, then it seems to manifest in these geniuses, these artistic, religious, military, and scientific geniuses. And I think that's very interesting. And I'd love for someone to contact me to how this can be proved, how we could prove it statistically, because at the moment it's just based on sort of observational evidence, really. It'd be very interesting to prove statistically. So there you go. So I hope that I have dealt with this issue with the gravity that it has, that it deserves, and I hope this is a one-off special where there's no comic beginning, and I hope this is satisfactory. But I'm afraid I have to end by putting on my Isaac Newton wig and saying that I hope this has been of interest, and if you've enjoyed it, then please do subscribe. Please subscribe, it really helps me to do that. Press the little red button so you get notifications when I have new videos. Spread the word on Twitter and so forth, and if you're really lovely, then do consider giving this 3-month premature cripple spastic some money on Subscribestar, PayPal, or Patreon, and buying his books. And as I say, I hope this has been of interest. And let me just end by saying this to all of you out there who maybe have been born prematurely or have premature children: preemie power, we're going to take over the world. And goodbye.